The War of the Worlds. Paul Denman plays John Nicholson in this six-part radio adaptation by John Manship White of the novel by H.G. Wells. The War of the Worlds, Part 5. The Red Weed.
On previous occasions, I have told you how I was fated to follow closely the main incidents of the War of the Worlds, and how I was the first human being to set eyes on the Martians as they crept from their vast space cylinders, and was destined to follow their activities throughout the ensuing conflict. You will remember the parson with whom I was trapped in a deserted house in Sheen when the fifth falling star nearly landed on top of us, and how he went out of his mind, and how, in my terror that his ravings would give us away to the Martians, I killed him. And as I stared down at his crumpled body, I heard a sound that terrified me. A Martian inside one of the spidery handling machines which was working on the crater outside the house had heard the parson's frenzied shouting. A thin steel tentacle was thrust into our earth-enclosed box of a kitchen. The parson's body was dragged out, and then the tentacle came back again. I scrambled into the scullery and pressed myself against the far wall, and the thing found the scullery door and came through after me. The quivering feeler swayed like a black cobra in the air in front of my face. I waited in agony for it to strike. It lunged downward, swept the crockery-littered floor at my feet, touched my shoe, and slowly withdrew. I was safe. The creature in the handling machine was satisfied that the parson had been alone. Otherwise, I should have been swung 100 feet into the air with an oily brown tentacle around my waist, and then pulled down into the green glare of the crater to be sucked dry. Sucked into a pulp of skin and bone by 2 wedge-like lips on a leathery, chinless face. 2 slobbering lips beneath a fleshy beak of a nose with no nostrils in it. I stayed in that scullery for 4 days and 4 nights, and I kept very, very still. But on the 5th day, I crept into the kitchen, and I found that the half-light had turned into a crimson obscurity. Across the crack in the wall through which I'd watched the Martians, a strange red weed was growing. I hesitated, and then, very warily, I pulled the fronds aside. And there, below me, was the crater. Empty. I could hardly believe my eyes. I wept with relief. There was nothing in the pit except a cloud of birds pecking at the remains of the men and women off which the Martians had made their meals. I clambered painfully into the open. How wonderful the air was. And then I recall tottering blindly along endless roads, bleary-eyed, exhausted with hunger. And what a strange world it was. All round me, and often above me, gently rippled the fantastic crimson fronds of the red weed. There was no food except what I found in wayside gardens. And believe it or not, I tramped all the way from Sheen to Putney Hill before I saw a single living soul.
Halt! Halt there!
His clothes were as filthy as my own. His greasy black hair fell over his eyes, and his features were dirty and dark and sunken. Across the lower part of his face was a deep red gash, He brandished an automatic rifle.
If you come any closer, and I'll blow you to pieces.
Whereabouts am I?
You're on Putney Hill. Now, where have you come from?
Mortlake Way. I'm all in.
Yeah, well, all right, no food for you here. So you can clear out. Go on back to Mortlake. This is my territory.
Yours?
Yeah. And down to the river, over to Clapham, and up to the edge of the heath. You're off your beat, mate.
I see.
Which way are you heading?
I don't know.
Well, it's no good scrounging around here.
I'm a bit confused.
Hutton. Oh, wait a minute. Don't I know you?
What?
Well, I'll be blowed. Ain't you the prof from Ottershaw?
Ottershaw?
Oh, hell, can't you remember? I was in your house that night. The night after the massacre.
You... It's the pilot. The pilot.
Yeah, that's right.
You're the helicopter pilot.
That's it.
I wouldn't have recognized you.
No. No, you've changed yourself.
Me? Oh, yeah, my clothes, you mean.
No, your hair's turned white.
My hair?
Oh, hell! You of all people! What a beaut, better luck! You saved my life, you know. Oh, what? Yeah. If you hadn't let me have that lint and bandages, those burns of mine would have festered for sure.
Oh.
Welcome to my little kingdom. Here, step across the front here. Ta-da! You're the guest of the state, mate. Oh, hell, I'm sorry. I've been wagging this thing under your nose. I didn't know it was you.
I believe you'd have used it, too.
Yeah, would I ever, mate? It's every man for himself now. We mustn't hang about in the crown of the hill like this.
What's that?
What? Shadow. That's only a rook.
Things are in a fine mess when a bird makes you jump out of your skin.
Yeah. Well, we'll crawl under those bushes there. You can take it easy for a while and we'll compare notes.
Right.
Oh, yeah? That's quite a snug little posse, ain't it?
Yeah.
They'll never spot us in here.
Suppose you haven't got anything to eat on you, have you?
Have I? Oh, hell, you look half-starved. Ham rolls and a few sausages.
Oh, thanks.
I've got them out of the lounge bar of that pub down the road.
Oh, thank you.
A bit stale, but they ought to be all right.
Mm.
A lot of the food's going mouldy now. Though I've only got to find a supermarket and break into the deep freeze.
Thank you very much.
Well, one good turn deserves another. Those burns, they'd have been septic by now.
That's a nasty welt on the jaw you've got there still. Is it painful?
Ah, she'll be all right, mate.
Which way are the things moving, do you know?
Well, they seem to be bogged down in London. I don't know why. Perhaps they got a rendezvous there, or they're waiting for reinforcements.
Hmm. Any more rockets? We saw 10 of them launched, remember?
Yeah, well, I should reckon they've all arrived by now. There's a big camp of them out at Hampstead. The sky over there's all lit up at night. And they reckon the government's gone to Edinburgh or somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the people are just scattered.
Mm. What puzzles me more than anything is this red weed. It's funny-looking stuff.
Yeah, it's spread everywhere. Do you think they brought it from Mars?
Yeah, probably. Probably by accident, the pollen might have drifted into the cylinders, you know, before they were launched. Anyway, it's all round us. That's what I find so odd. It's like living in a red jungle.
Ah, you'll get used to it. It's only knee-deep in most places. Well, it's easy enough to hack your way through.
All the way from Mortlake, I was walking through avenues of scarlet trees. Like a forest of blood.
And the seeds have gotten to the Thames, too. The whole river's choked up with colossal fronds, a sort of spongy mass.
I tried to gnaw a few stems of it as I came along.
That's rotten stuff, no good at all. Watery.
It's got a sort of sickly, metallic taste.
You want to see it sprouting up Tower Bridge or curling round Nelson's Column?
Good God, has it got as far as that?
Yeah, the whole of London's under a kind of scarlet blanket. There are tendrils crawling down the Haymarket across Leicester Square, all over the show.
Yeah. You know what I think it is?
What?
I think it's that plant that grows on the canals on Mars. That's why we can see the canals so distinctly in the telescopes. It's why Mars is called the Red Planet.
It's pretty gruesome at night. Phosphorescent. Then sort of glows till it looks almost purple. It's miles and miles and miles of a glowing purple.
Set me all to the landscape.
I don't feel as though you're on Earth anymore, somehow.
They're not. We're on Mars. We're on a different planet.
It certainly makes things look pretty lurid.
Weird. Unearthly.
Well, makes a change, doesn't it? We'll get used to it, I suppose.
We'll have to. It's not only the landscape those things have altered.
What do you mean?
I feel they've done something far more serious. Can't you feel it?
I can't say I do. What are you driving at?
I mean, we're no longer the masters.
How do you mean?
We aren't the lords of creation anymore. The Martians are. We're just hunted foxes, that's all. Vermin. One more animal among the animals.
Ah, well, there's no need to get down on the mouth about it. I mean, if we give way, we're going to be goners, mate. Look, I'll tell you what. We'll make a foray and collect whatever grub we can lay our hands on. Then we'll sneak into the West End, find a good big hotel and spend a couple of quiet days there until you get your second wind, eh? We need all the guts we can muster if we're going to survive.
That's true enough.
Well, then, you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got a beaut place in mind.
Is London completely empty, then?
Yeah, completely and utterly. You are the first man I've seen for 3 days.
Why don't we go north, then, and find our own people?
I've got a better idea.
What's that?
Well, I'll keep that till later when you've had a decent meal and some sleep. I mean, we've got all the time in the world.
All the time in the world.
Yeah, well, all the time in London anyway. Right, you all set? One thing about this red weed, gives you plenty of cover.
Empty. The whole of London. Empty. Well, it's not hard to understand how it happened. I mean, can't you hear those government spokesmen addressing the crowded benches in the Commons? Can't you just hear them? The Royal Society announced this afternoon that the persons from Mars who landed in Surrey at noon today are to be protected from any possible molestation.
And taken to Regent's Park.
Under police escort.
Where members of the public will be permitted to view them upon payment of a special fee of 15 shillings.
The proceeds to be devoted to the improvement of certain bird sanctuaries.
We learn from reliable sources that the Astronomer Royal...
Miss James Stent.
...has formed a deputation to approach the ridiculous creatures.
Still cowering in their sand pit.
Sir James is, of course, well known for his masterly spectrographic analyses of our neighbor planets.
We deeply regret to announce the death of Sir James Stent, Astronomer Royal.
Widely known for his spectrographic analyses.
The Martians were apparently foolhardy enough to bring with them...
From their own somewhat bizarre planet.
Some sort of puny... Heat wave.
And the government has accordingly requested the War Office to send a detachment of tanks and some aircraft to the area.
A measure that will doubtless bring the tiresome creatures to their senses.
We are informed that the Martians have been rash enough to attack the forces that are sent to deal with the disturbance.
Unprovoked aggression.
No responsibility of the government.
Tireless as ever.
Energetic.
Self-sacrificing.
Undaunted.
And we're moving temporarily to Edinburgh.
Please help to keep main lines clear.
Especially to Edinburgh.
Martians moving freely, but only within a restricted area.
An absurd three-legged machine. New Martian weapon brought to bear.
Nonsensical black smoke.
Government considers fresh approach to United Nations.
Conventions of war.
No cause for panic.
Government announces master plan for administering country.
From Glasgow.
Situation under control.
marching in London.
Field Marshal Lord Glencannon takes over command.
Lord Glencannon's old illness recurs.
Troops falling back in good order.
Tripoids at Wimbledon.
No need for apprehension.
Substantial reserve of tanks.
Paratroops.
Martians at Edgware.
Government pledges swift action.
From the Orkney Islands.
Field Marshal the Earl of Glamorgan.
Ill health.
Frightful losses.
Coolness and determination.
20 divisions.
Counterattack.
Interim budgets.
100 divisions.
On a point of order, Mr. Speaker.
Is the right honourable gentleman aware?
Tampering with the liberties of the individual.
During the last election.
A precious stone set in a silver sea.
Pretty rich, eh?
So there you are. At this moment, our members of Parliament are probably holding forth in an igloo. It's a pretty sad thing to laugh at, but... It's the first laugh I've had for days.
Yeah. Well, all the Londoners have fled north.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Me neither.
It's all rather pathetic, really, isn't it? Funny how that light filters through this weed. You can see the scarlet veins in the leaves.
Ah, if we'd been fighting an ordinary war. I mean, unless it were H-bombs, that is. Everyone would have stayed put and fought to the last man. But Martians? Ah, hell. I ask you. There was nothing else for it. I just had to cut and run.
Good God, look! Look, up there, between those fronds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw three or four of those yesterday.
Yeah, but it's a...
Yeah, look, you better wait and dispatch a shadow till it's passed over.
It's a plane. My God, what a plane.
Yeah, the first one I saw gave me a hell of a shock, too. That single wing swept back.
Sort of moon-shaped. Practically transparent, except for that black dot in it.
If I could only capture a gadget like that. Oh, hell, we'd give them a taste of their own medicine.
So simple. What is it? Swing wing or something?
Well, whatever it is, they brought it with them in the rocket. Well, come on. We better get as far as we can before dark while we can still see to hack our way through this red stuff.
Oh, that's better. Oh, these mattresses are good and soft, aren't they?
Yeah, a bit of the right electricity.
Do you think it's safe here? The hooting from those fighting machines is pretty continuous.
No, we're not safe. But we might as well die comfortable in bed. So undignified being snuffed out in the cellar, especially for a flyer.
Yeah, but what about the fighting machines?
Just sentries, I expect. Wandering round in search of a human sacrifice or two. Even Martians have to have a good square meal now and again.
Yeah. Well, there's one waiting for them right here.
Ah, they'll never find us. Anyway, they come in the streets.
You know, I'm pretty sure of one thing.
What's that?
In ordinary circumstances, Dora and I would never be able to afford to stay in a penthouse in Park Lane.
And I always did you proud of you.
Huh?
Well, I used to come here now and again when I was on leave.
Did you?
Yeah, the dear dead days beyond recall, eh? Hey, you better relax and enjoy yourself, mate.
Yes, yeah, I need to. After those last few days.
Yeah, I bet.
I keep thinking about that parson. I can't get him out of my mind.
Come on. If I'd have been in your shoes, I'd have done him in double quick, I can tell you. Can't imagine why you put up with him for so long.
And I wish to God I knew where Dora was.
Oh, for God's sake, stop worrying. You're in the best hotel in Mayfair for as long as you like, and it's all for free. What more do you want? One of the bar, use of the kitchens, anything you like.
You sure it's safe for us to use that candle?
Yeah, of course it is. Thank heaven the management still keep a stock of those things in case of power cuts. Most of those Martian things are keeping their little rendezvous at Hampstead. And they never spot it with all that phosphorescence out there.
It's uncanny, isn't it, that glow? I can't get used to it. And the way that weed festoons the doors and windows. Like creeper.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're up to over at Hampstead.
Oh, you feel like a nightcap? I brought a bottle up from the bar.
No, no, thanks. I keep thinking about Dora.
Ah, damn,
she was...
Ah, well.
If anything's happened...
I'll take it out the bottle.
Just hope it was quick, that's all.
Ah, no noisy blighters. You know, Nicholson, after that gory business on Horsell Common when they first shot me down, gave me a date for the heat ray.
Well, I did a spot of hard thinking. Everybody's squealing and hollering. What's the use of that? I've never had much time for squealers myself. Now, we may as well face up to it. There's no good beating about the bush. First, they'll smash us up. Ships, machines, cities, railways, everything. They'll all go on the scrap heap. And then what?
What?
Well, I said about choosing the ripest human specimens and storing them in compounds or cages.
I suppose so. It's a nasty idea.
It's inevitable. Oh, we've been stupid, Nicholson. Instead of annoying them with dynamite, we should have pretended to keep quiet. As it is, they'll destroy everything we might have used to fight them with. We're licked. The game's up.
Well, I suppose it had to come sometime.
Cities, nations, civilization. It's all over. Now, what we've got to do now, Nicholson, is to fit ourselves for the new state of affairs. Instead of letting off our little pop guns at him, we've got to start using our brains.
Well, if civilization's as good as done for, why go on living? What have we got to look forward to?
Well, of course, if you're viewing it like that, there won't be any nice little concerts to sit through for the next million years or so. There won't be any charming little art galleries to trot round. If it's amusement you're after, you may as well stretch out where you are and give up the ghost. And if you're keen on drawing room manners and not eating your peas with a knife, well, the sort of thing I got in mind just ain't up your street, mate.
What have you got in mind?
Well, I'm going on living. I'm going on living for the sake of the race. I'm not going to be collared and tamed and fattened and bred like an ox and then sucked dry. I'm going on under their great metal feet. And before we got a chance against them, we got to learn to play the game their way. And to do that, we've got to stay alive and independent.
Go on.
Well, we've got to turn into outlaws. The wild beasts.
Who's we?
Well, anyone who's cut out for it. Anyone with some guts and go in them. Oh, we don't want your little people with no spirit. Scared of the boss, scared of the neighbours, scared of the wife. Miserable rat. Martians will be a godsend to them.
I can't imagine the Martians being a godsend to anyone, frankly.
Can't you? They're nice roomy cages, fattening food, careful breeding, no worries. You have to roam in round up north for a bit with empty stomachs, they'll come trooping back to give themselves up, you watch. And before long, they'll be wondering what people did before there were Martians to take care of them.
You're a man of spirit, Lieutenant. Why didn't I join the army instead of taking up astronomy?
Yeah, the Martians will make pets of some of them. Train them to do tricks. Perhaps get sentimental over a pet boy who grew up and had to be put to sleep. And some, of course, they'll train to hunt us.
No, that's impossible, you know. No human being would ever undertake such a job.
Ah, yes, they would. And cheerfully, too. Prating solemnly about collaborating and maintaining law and order and tracking down criminals and so on.
And what would we be doing all this time?
Inventing a life where men can live freely and breed properly and learn to hit back. We've got to become hard and lean and tough.
That's all very well, but what if we go savage? Under those conditions, you know, it wouldn't be hard for us to degenerate.
Degenerate? That's the others who degenerate.
Not necessarily. We could do it too. We could slowly turn into a horde of vicious rats.
No, we would not.
And where would we hang out? I mean, there's nowhere to hide.
I guess there is.
Where?
We're going to Earth, boy. We're going underground. Literally.
How?
The sewers. There are hundreds and hundreds of miles of them. An underground city.
No, it's completely uninhabitable. I mean, the muck, the stench.
Ah, you're mixing them up with the drains. The main sewers are big, airy tunnels, Nicholson. Roomy enough for anyone. A few days' rain and an empty city will soon leave them clean and sweet. And as well as them, there are cellars and passages and subways and railway tunnels.
And what happens next after we've settled in our new quarters?
Well, then we start forming a core of able-bodied, intelligent men and women. Well, not just any old pommy rubbish, people with brains and character. We can't afford weaklings. Anyone who doesn't come up to the mark will be tossed out to the Martians.
You're certainly a pretty ruthless fellow. Still, your ideas are sound enough. It's not the individual who counts from now on, it's the species. Yes, and it isn't just the species which matters. It's saving our knowledge and adding to it. Listen, I've got an idea.
What?
We'll break into the British Museum and we'll save the important books. Then we'll make secure places deep down and make a series of libraries and workshops.
Yeah, and I've got another idea, too.
Huh?
We'll let them think we don't mean any harm. They won't hunt us down. If they've got what they want and we don't give them any trouble, they'll just... Well, they just think we're useless vermin.
Yeah, and it mightn't be so long before we've learned enough to challenge them, either. We'll watch them all the time. Yeah, and some fine day we'll pinch a couple of their fuck machines and fairly set about them. Can't you see it? Oh, my God! Quick, the candle! Get under the bed, it's better than nothing!
Oh, God, you fools! Stupid fools! To think we can hope to stand out against anything like that.
We will, I tell you, we will.
They're much, much cleverer than we are.
That stupid, great, blundering masses of machinery.
God, they're very near.
Yeah. Sounds like Oxford Street.
What are they after?
They're beaten in this part of London.
Beating?
They're beaten for food.
In part 5 of The War of the Worlds, adapted by John Manship White from the novel by H.G. Wells, Paul Damon played John Nicholson and Anthony Jackson the Lieutenant. The sound score is by David Kane of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, and the serial is produced by John Powell.